I have a couple questions for you this morning. Are you a good listener? Would you consider yourself to be a good listener? Have you been told you're a good listener? Maybe these characteristics describe you. Are you a fidgety listener? Do you frequently check your watch or daydream when someone is speaking before you or to you? Perhaps you are a yawner. Maybe you are an interrupter. We know people like that. The characteristics I've just named have each been identified in 8 Barriers to Effective Listening by author Michael Webb, and they are physical symptoms of communication anxiety. That's his term. His study and understanding tells us that these symptoms reveal that you'd rather be somewhere else sometimes. You have unfinished stuff you'd like to say, so you continue to interrupt. Maybe you're overwhelmed at the information you are receiving or you are about to receive, and he says that that somehow takes your brain to a tedious and overwhelmed place, so you yawn. Perhaps you've experienced some of these things or have seen them while someone's talking to you. Don't take offense. Michael Webb says it's communication anxiety and there's more at play. Maybe you exhibit some of these signs even as God speaks to you. Who will time check? Who will fidget and yawn during my sermon today? Me too, I will. Watch. I want to show you an example from Scripture in which Christ is speaking and he's not really being heard for what he means to say and what his life is about. And I believe there's communication anxiety, and it leads almost to his death. Go to Luke 4, if you would. Luke chapter 4, starting with the 14th verse. It says there that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues or their churches, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, he stood up to read. So he went back to his hometown and went to church, sat in his seat. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, because they knew this boy, now man. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, which was Isaiah 61, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In your hearing. And then as you read on in that chapter, the story shows that the people did not like what they were hearing, in fact, and in a mob attempt, they try to kill him, and he escapes. So what's the purpose of Christ in this passage as we're talking about God speaking and us hearing and how we listen? First of all, we know that he's telling them that the messianic promise of the Old Testament and of Isaiah is being fulfilled. We know that this has an impact on the entirety of time and a global impact, and it's meant for the world. But the people in the synagogue at that moment didn't really understand it or get it, that he was talking about himself and that he has good news for each person. He wants the people in the synagogue to hear that, and he wants us to hear it today. Are you listening? What does he want us to hear? And I want you to listen up. I want you to know that he has good news for the poor. Right out of Isaiah 61, right from the words of Jesus, he has called me to proclaim good news for the poor. This is good news for many of them, because those who believed on him immediately and knew him and understood who he was knew that he had the same roots that they did. This was Joseph's son, and he came from their town, and he understood their ways and their life, and you could hear them and see in their lives that finally someone understands our burden. Because he is one of them, he will provide for people's real needs. Now, the poor in first century civilization were slaves. They were non-Jews outside of the Jewish family. They were the outcast. They were the diseased that we read in Scripture. Anyone subservient, anyone oppressed, is Jesus claiming to stomp out poverty? Does he do that today? No. What good news for the poor does he have? Well, the truly poor merely want kindness. They want acceptance. They want love. And this he delivers, as he says, in their hearing. Are you listening? We're all poor. We are spiritually poverty-stricken people, and Jesus comes and offers us kindness and love and acceptance upon our hearing. Psalm 41:17 says, "The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland and the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know and may consider and understand on their hearing that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it." God provides. Listen up, folks. God has good news for the poor, and it's in the life of his son, Jesus. He brings the blessings of life. He meets our needs. He takes care of our spiritual lives and our emotional lives, and he enriches our relational lives when we recognize that he loves us, the poor people. From Isaiah 61, as Jesus reads again, I want us to listen up, because he brings freedom to prisoners. Prisoners. Have you ever thought of yourself as a prisoner? Not that he lets us out of jail, but he changes and liberates the heart. Can you hear Paul and Silas rocking it out, singing in their jail cell as they've been imprisoned for preaching the gospel? And they sing so much and so loudly and so joyously that God, with an angel and with his power, disturbs and disrupts the jail, and they're free. The bars of their cell could not suppress their joy. They were free in their chains. Once the soul has been set free in Christ, there's nothing that can restrain you. Many people suffer for years in relationships, in situations, in jobs, in neighborhoods, in marriages, and you feel like you're in prison, but God liberates, and in Jesus' blood, we do not have to live like that, because Jesus can change the purpose and perspective of every relationship and every situation that you are in. I hope you can hear that. You are free to stop being a prisoner. Has nothing to do with the conditions around you or the other people. It's about what you're doing inside. Jesus brings freedom to prisoners. We need to let Jesus rule over us, not others. I want you to listen up because he also offers recovery of sight for the blind. He literally did heal some blind people in a couple of stories. I know one, he took mud from the ground and made a salve and put it on the blind man's eyes and healed him and gave him back his vision. More importantly, I want us to listen in that he provides a new focus and a new understanding. Jesus opens the hearts of transformed people, and we begin to see things through Jesus' eyes. I think in the recovery of sight, he gives direction for those who've lost their way. Where are you? How is your perspective? How is your vision? I want you to listen and know that Jesus can change that and can help you see things differently. He offers to you his lens, the lens of humility and servitude and love for all people and forgiveness, and invites you to transform your vision and come along his path. I want you to also hear, as Jesus has told the people in the church then and now, that he delivers release to the oppressed. Release to the oppressed. We're fortunate in this country that we really, probably no one in this room has really an experiential idea of what that means. We have more and more folks coming from other countries and parts of the world where they live this out and they come here for freedom. But for most of the folks sitting in this room today, we read about oppression, we know about oppression, we do not like oppression, but we've never really had to go through it ourselves. We've watched enough of world politics and news to know that people are affected by a tyranny of dictators, of discrimination, and all sorts of evil. I think you also notice that Jesus doesn't release the oppressed by wiping out tyrannical rule, but by giving people hope. He doesn't release us by changing our external conditions, but by giving us something internally to focus on. Release comes in his all-powerful presence and his love. And beyond the oppression we have to live under, there is a God who cares and releases our souls to live free. Richard Mouw helps us understand this in a book he wrote called Uncommon Decency. He says, imagine a city under siege. The enemy that surrounds the city will not let anyone or anything leave. Supplies are running low and the citizens are fearful. But in the dark of the night, a spy sneaks through the enemy lines. He is rushed to the city to tell the people that in another place, the main enemy force has been defeated. The leaders have already surrendered. The people do not need to be afraid. It's only a matter of time until the besieging troops receive the news and lay down their weapons. Similarly, we may seem now to be surrounded by the forces of evil, disease, injustice, oppression, and death. But the enemy has actually been defeated at Calvary. Things are not the way they seem to be. It's only a matter of time until it becomes clear to all that the battle is really over. Jesus releases the oppressed. He invites us to come into his powerful presence and live with oppression no more, with a God who cares and is all sovereign and all powerful. I'm watching how you're listening. Maybe some of you right now, your eyes are glazing over and you're in another place. Perhaps you're a bit fidgety. Are you able to hear anything that I'm saying? What does Christ's reading of Isaiah mean to us personally, and what are you hearing today that can help you? What is it that oppresses you? What keeps you weighted down with a burden that seems too large to bear or carry? People? Bullies at school? A boss? Maybe someone really close in your life. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's a decision you can't get over. Maybe it's sin in your life. Listen up and pay attention. Jesus wants to set you free to hear the great plan for your life that he has in you, in him, for you. How do we receive this? Maybe we have some communication anxiety and we don't understand how this man Jesus could love us so much that he gave his life for us. That's information that's just too much for us to bear. Well, we have to give him our attention. We have to accept his act of love on the cross for us. He is the only way to overcome. Stop trying to carry your world of problems on your own shoulders. He wants to help. Bruce Larson tells how he helped people struggle to surrender their lives to Christ. He says, "For many years, I was in New York City and counseled at my office any number of people who were wrestling with this yes or no decision of giving their lives to Jesus to carry and handle. Often I would suggest they walk with me from my office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. In the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas, a beautifully proportioned man who, with all his muscle straining, is holding the world upon his shoulders. Perhaps you've seen that. There he is, the most powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under the burden." Now, that's one way to live, I would point out to my companion and people I'm helping, trying to carry the world on your own shoulders. But now come across the street with me, and on the other side of Fifth Avenue is St. Patrick's Cathedral, and there behind the high altar is a little shrine of the boy Jesus. Perhaps 8 or 9 years old, with no effort, he is holding the world in one hand. Bruce says, "My point was illustrated graphically. We have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, 'I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world, the whole world.'" Again, how's your anxiety level? If you're finding it difficult to listen to him, you need to do a couple things. First of all, ask him to come in and clean out the deep parts of your mind and your soul. Sometimes we wander around through life and we don't understand that there might be things locked into our memory that are really controlling our behavior and our lives. And we need to ask Jesus to get in there in his spirit and heal them and clean them out. We have to ask for that. When we ask God for things that bring him glory, he gives generously. Request a home invasion. It's a bad term, but request Jesus to come into your life and invade it. Get him to come in and clean out everything standing in the way of you and him. The communication anxiety exists because there's something you're not letting go of. I'm sure you have some stuff you don't know about. Give it up. Let it go. God wants to do something new and wonderful. Andrew Murray said, "God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him." Ask him to come in and clean it out. And then the second thing you need to do is this, and it's the scripture on your bulletin, Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that he is God." Stop for a moment. Quit fidgeting. Listen. When life is too crazy, when you're too busy to hear anything but your own frenzy, be still. Sometimes we need to turn off everything else and just listen to him. Robert Heron, in An article in Homemade says that good listening is like tuning in a radio station. For good results, you can only listen to one station at a time. Trying to listen to my wife while looking over an office report is like trying to receive two radio stations at the same time. I end up with distortion and frustration. Listening requires a choice of where I place my attention. To tune into my partner, I must first choose to put away all that will divide my attention. That might mean laying down the newspaper, moving away from the dishes in the sink, putting down the book I'm reading, setting aside my projects. Be still and know that I am God. You're familiar with Charles Swindoll. He once found himself with too many commitments in too few days, and he says he got nervous and tense about it, and he was snapping at his wife and his children, choking down food at mealtimes, and was feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions throughout the day. You've been there? He recalls in his book, Stress Fractures, "Before long, things around our home started reflecting the patter of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day, and she began hurriedly, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast.' Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, 'Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly.' And he says, 'I'll never forget her answer. 'Then, Daddy, listen slowly.' Be still and know that I am God." If you're finding it difficult to listen to what God is saying, you need to ask Him to come in and clean out the deep parts of your mind and your soul, and you need to be still and just know that He is God and watch Him change your life, your family, and your friends will appreciate it. The last thing Jesus read from the scroll in Isaiah 61 was that He was to proclaim the year of God's favor. That is the good news. In Him, we escape the penalty of sin and judgment. Listen up, folks. As believers, we have a part in sharing that good news. We have to accept His mission as our own. We have to practice His love and share His news, going to Matthew 25 people, unto the least, all the way up to the rest. We have good news for the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, and the oppressed. It's that Jesus loves you and He loves me, and we cannot be afraid of that news that we have to share or that mission that we're compelled to tell. He has called us to deliver this good news. And it's important to know that what He has called us to do, He will equip us to accomplish. Listen up, He will anoint you to fulfill His purpose. Jesus returned from the desert full of the power of the Spirit. And that is what He does for us. We can't shy away from the mission of the good news because we don't think we know enough or we're not the best communicators. When God presents the opportunity, the Spirit empowers you and gives you the words and the witness. We need to share the deliverer's power with those living in a dry and weary land. Always remember that His power goes before you, and that is what helps us communicate so clearly so that people get the correct information. Depend on the Spirit. Can you hear what He's saying? You need to listen up. He has good news for the poor. He brings freedom to prisoners. He offers recovery of sight for the blind. He delivers release to the oppressed. Listen up. Pay attention. Jesus wants to set you free to hear the great plan that He has for your life. Clear out the clutter and be still. Listen to His voice. Accept His gift. Share it with others. communicate it clearly. The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what he said, so one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." It's kind of like going out the door at the end of church, right? It was not till the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Puzzled, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." I hope you're listening up. I hope you're hearing what God has been saying to you and to me, and that we are preparing and living as He has spoken and we have heard. Amen? Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for Christ and His message, His testimony, His life, and what that means to us today. Lord, as we think about our own situations and the constraints we put ourselves in with relationships, with deep thoughts, with problems, with vision, with the lack of trust, you offer transformation. You offer release. You offer new vision. You offer sight. You offer hope. God, if we've heard and we've listened, we will give our lives to you and entrust them to you so that you can transform us, make a difference in our lives, and we can be set free. And then, Lord, we can share that news with others. We just thank you today. And Lord, as we close in singing and prayer, we stand upon your promises that you provide, you love, you listen, and you lead. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.